Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God's word is sure, folks. If you believe the impossible, you believe God, He can make a way out of no seeming way. And that was a song I used to, it just came to my mind, my heart, really. It was called, I forgot the name of it, but it said, I'm looking for a miracle. I believe the impossible. It believes the impossible because God can make a way out of no way. The Syrian army surrounded Elisha and his servant. Elisha said, "Lord, open the young man's eyes." They were surrounded by an army, a Syrian army, and the Syrian army was surrounded by God's army, an army of angels. And they smote the Syrian army with blindness. And then the prophet led them. First he fed them, and then he led them back home. And they went back home blind. They couldn't do anything, and he treated them courteously. See, God has a way that always works. And people that know him, they understand this. But people that don't know him, they don't believe that God can do what he said he'll do, or God will do what he said that he'll do. But see, they that believe God must believe that he is and that he's willing. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The reason people quit seeking him is because they really don't believe he's going to help. Now, this is a problem because God wants to help people, but there's no faith for him to act on. And the Lord is always available to his people. He wants to be available to people that don't know him yet. See, if a person can believe him, the Lord will do something to show. As long as that person's in faith, he'll do something to let them know, hey, here I am. And if he took the time to die for us, and he took the time, he let the soldiers beat him and hurt him and wound him. He took every disease we could ever possibly have upon himself. And the scripture says it this way, by his stripes we're healed. That means everything that can go wrong with us went wrong with Jesus, except for broken bone. None of his bones were broken. But all the diseases we could ever have, and even his bones were out of joint, but they weren't broken. See, he can identify everything. And he took our punishment on himself. So if somebody throw a rock over the house and it knocks your daughter's eye out, you can believe God for, and he can give her an eye. You know, in the Old Testament, if they had an accident and knocked somebody's tooth out, then you had to knock the other person's tooth out. It's like Pastor said, you have two toothless people. But see, that was a deterrent. God had to use deterrence in those days because somebody would hate somebody and act like there was an accident. Well, this deterred people from acting like their misdeed was an accident. That's why God said that, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And you had to, even if you cared about them, you had to knock that tooth out. Or their eye out, or whatever they did to you, you got to do to them. That's the deterrent, because Satan's people are asleep. Malicious people will practice until they get it right, and then they'll hurt you and act like it was an accident. So God knew that. He knew the hearts of men. So he said, you can read it for yourself. That's why he did, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Hand for hand. Whatever it is, you hurt the other person, you got to get hurt the same way. And then that was an outlet. You had to run to the city of refuge. Now, the city of refuge was there in case somebody really had an accident. Okay, the person that got hurt may understand that was an accident, but they got to knock your eye out. So you got to get away. And if they knew that there was an accident, they'll probably let you get away, even though they were commanded by God to knock your eye out. So they might chase you, but they might run slow enough for you to make it to that city. And then they satisfy the justice of God. All of this was not, the law was not popular. The law was, it had many deterrents in it because people would do evil. Now, I said all that to say this. That was not God's heart for you to get even with people. Until Jesus came, the Lord had to do things to secure the people in the lineage of Jesus. Because people that love the world would have tried to harm them. So the Lord made laws. He made a covenant with Abraham. And it's wild that the law can be very wild, because you're dealing with lawless people that are wild. God never wanted to give a law in the first place. Why would you, you know, that's like telling your own children, look, don't steal, don't kill each other, don't steal from each other, don't lust after each other. You know, you're telling your children and their friends not to do all these things. But when they proved that they were lawless, he had to. Because people who love the world, they don't care about the welfare of others. They care about themselves. They become satanic-like. And God knew that there would be insurrection in the camp, among his people. When Moses was getting to find the Ten Commandments, they were proving that they needed it. They made a golden calf. And they were doing all kind of things that they shouldn't have been doing. Having orgies and getting drunk and partying, just like the Egyptians. They proved that they needed a law. So God had a covenant going with Abraham, and he had to deal with this. So he had to let them know. He had to give them the law. So when you think about these things, the law was given to the lawless, and they proved that they were not going to do it right. So God had to give them the Ten Commandments. And then, that ain't all. See, the Lord had a covenant with Abraham. He was going to get this, he was going to keep his end of the covenant and do everything it takes. Now, understand this about the Lord. He always chooses the best way to do something. And knowing the hearts of men, he gave the law, he gave statutes, ordinances. Everything that could attach them to darkness, he gave them a way out of it. Even if they took the spoils of war, if it was gold, silver, iron, bronze, whatever, brass, anything they had, copper, that had to be burned. They had to go through the fire. Why? To detach the evil of the people off of it. And if it was cloth, it had to be washed, or they couldn't bring it in the camp. And they had to do it outside the camp. The Lord had to do all sorts of things, because if you think about it, a person's possessions is what they got some kind of way, usually by wrong. And then you're the owner of it. They're dead, and now you own it. And you had to burn it. That don't mean melt it. They had to send it through the fire. Now, if it couldn't survive fire, they had to wash it. And see, if you study the word, you'll find instances where they didn't do this and then they had trouble. Just like Gideon's ephod. He took the earrings from the Ishmaelites, and then he made an ephod, and people, it caused him a lot of trouble. But you see one of his descendants doing the same thing that the Midians did. He killed all of his brothers except for one. Abimelech did. The spirit that was on the Ishmaelites got on his son. The one that was born of a harlot. But it wasn't the fact that he was born of a harlot. It was the fact that, you know, he didn't send that gold through the fire. Like God, he didn't keep that ordinance. The Lord did all kind of things to protect his people from all forms of witchcraft and demonology and all the foreign religions, all the artifacts that would draw them in, just like Baal worship. So the Lord had to give them laws. Now remember the mind of God. God loves everybody. And at various stages of our lives, we agree, at vulnerable moments in our life, we might agree with darkness. But that don't mean that we have an evil heart. Because everything from a certain point of view can look good. And if you don't know what to watch out for, you get trapped. So God had mercy on his people. He knew how they were. So he gave them laws. He gave them off ordinances with deterrents, just like eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. All of it. But that wasn't how God is. God had to preserve man to bring forth Jesus. Now, let's shift gears. In Emmanuel Kai, you shift gears. The heart of God, and what is that? What the Lord had his eye on, the apple of God's eye, was a relationship with man again. And everybody that would receive his light or receive his word, he would give them his abilities. And his abilities are big. Now, Isaiah said that in Isaiah chapter 8, he told Isaiah to seal the law among his disciples. And notice now, that's not, he didn't say seal the law among my people. He said my disciples. Now, why would he say that? Disciples are people who decided, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to learn of him. I'm not going to deviate and do my own thing. I'm going to be trained. I'm trainable. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to learn his ways. See, sometimes people don't get it. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to read the scripture. Here it is. All right. The Lord said, I'm going to read a portion of it before I get to it. Verse 11. For the Lord spake this to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. Then he said, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. And let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Now watch what happens. When you're focused on the Lord. This kind of fear is focus. You're focused on the Lord with the intent to do whatever he say. You fear the Lord more than you these stupid idols that people worship. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. And let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. In other words, he's your focus now. Now watch what happens. Verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, a place you can go and have rest and fellowship. He shall be a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, people that went rogue with the world against, they became lawless, but to those that fear him, those that focus on him, he's a sanctuary. But for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. See, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two. You had the Judah, and Benjamin stuck with Judah and Ephraim, and the rest of the tribes was was put under Jeroboam, called Israel. So there was two houses there. All right. Verse 15, and many among them shall stumble and fall, be broken and be snared and be taken. That's the rogue ones. That's the ones that went lawless, because God had to evacuate them because they couldn't keep covenant. God can only work through people that will keep covenant. So he let them go into captivity. They didn't ask God to drive away their enemies by now. When they used to sin and the Lord was surround them with enemies and let the enemy just harass them, they would cry out and repent. This time they wouldn't do it, and they went into captivity. First Israel, then about 100 years later, the Jews went into captivity in Jeremiah's day. In Isaiah's day, king of Assyria took Israel captive. All right, verse 16. He said, 15 again. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and taken. Now watch what he said, verse 16. This is what he was getting at. He said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Verse 17, and I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. And this is Isaiah talking. I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob. But the law is sealed among Isaiah's disciples. See, when you love God from the heart, he can school you. He can tell you something. He can show you something. And he bound up the testimony. Then he sealed the law among his disciples. Now watch verse 17 again. And I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. People that love the world system, God is hiding his face from them. They can't figure it out. They don't see the exit door. The only thing they see is the light. They see enough light in the people of God to learn how to exit the world system. But their love for the world system keeps them bound. Now watch verse 18. He said, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. See, God is still in the miracle business. He said, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs. They signal how to get out of this foolishness. But the wicked can't, they will not come out of it. Those that love the world, they become the enemy of God, just like Jesus taught. Just like John taught. Love not the world, the things that are in the world. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These things are not of the Father, but they are of the world. They shouldn't exist, but yet they do. So when people love those things, they can't see God. And because they wouldn't repent, God is now hiding his face so they can't see him. But he has mercy. The people that love the Lord are for signs. But guess what? The enmity of Satan's children against God's children won't let them cross over. So enmity is dangerous. Then he said, now watch the heart of the wicked. Verse 19. And when they shall say to you, seek to them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Are you kidding me? You're seeking for people with familiar spirit. You're asking dead people about what to do in life? No. They should be. Verse 20 answers this. No. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. They can't value light. Now let's look at what the Lord said a few weeks ago. I've been reading this from time to time. It fits. I saw a YouTube video and I said, how can a person be that wicked? And the Lord spoke this to me. He said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. And then he stopped talking, of course, like I say in all of them. I said, well, Lord, what is it? I don't want to figure it out and be wrong. He said, they share an unconditional enmity with God. Now, this is the people who love the world system. They have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. No matter how hard they attempt to hide it, it is there. Only people who believe God love God, true. Only people who seek the Lord through Jesus Christ with faith know God, true. All who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter in the glories of the Lord. They won't receive revelation. They won't enter in the glories of the Lord, nor can they value it. And that's the problem. When they see people's lives working, when they see light, they get angry. Okay, continuing. All who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter in the glories of the Lord, nor can they value it. They will never yield. They are opposite. They are fallen. They remain fallen, saith the Lord. That's what happened to the fallen angels. If angels can fall, guess what? Men can too. If angels will fall and not repent, men can too. He said, they are not subject to me, nor can they be. Only those who love and come to truth will receive salvation. He says, seal the law among my disciples. All others were rejected according to the parable of the sower. Now, some people that are in the kingdom of God, they're not wise. They're not disciples. They're covenant people. They love God. They have covenant, but they're not trying to learn his ways. Remember, though, five were wise, five were foolish. And then that some people are more aggressive to learn God's ways than others. And some people, their lives work. They believed on Jesus. They're innocent in that way. They're not trying to learn everything. They just happy in Jesus. I respect that. Paul addressed this in Acts chapter 2. He told one group of people, if you don't, I can't quote it. But he said, if you don't eat things offered to idols, have sex out of marriage. And it was one more thing. It was three things he said don't do. Now, they wasn't as wise as other people, but if they just stay out of trouble, they'll be all right. But he said, seal the law among my disciples. Now, the reason I'm saying all this, see, people who love the world, they become bitter. All right, now watch what happened to the people that love the world. He said, they shall pass through it. This is Isaiah 8:21. They shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, now the trap is already, they trapped. They're hungry. They shall fret themselves, curse their king and their God, and look upward. And they're the ones in trouble. Then he said, and they shall look unto the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. See, that happened because in verse 19, when they shall say to you, seek to them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter. That's what happens. So they become driven to darkness. They see their country bombed, and they're driven from their homes. Their wives are ravished, and now they're in chains, and they're cussing God. They won't repent from their sin. They shall look to the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Did you know that when people die, and they die without the Lord, the enemy mocks them forever? Reminds them of all the people that tried to tell them about Jesus. And he rehearsed their attitude, and as they torment them. In Judges 8, Gideon had a great victory. 300 men. Gideon and his 300 man army. When you study this, it's kind of hard to believe if you're looking at it from a natural standpoint. Now, this is what God put on my heart today. All right, now watch this. This is Judges 8. And the men of Ephraim said to him, why hast thou served us this way? That you called us not when you went to fight with the Midianites. And they did chide with him sharply. And he said to them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. They were focused on praise and glory. Gideon won a great victory, left them out because God left them out. God chose Gideon's army. But they want recognition. Sometimes recognition is more important than the causes of God. They didn't really care about the cause of God like Gideon did. They didn't care about the covenant, but they wanted the fame and fortune of and victory of war. So they almost picked a fight with Gideon. They did it again against Jephthah. And this time Jephthah had to fight back. They didn't calm down. Okay, but verse 4, that's in chapter 11, I think. Or 12. But Gideon, verse 4 says, "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing. And he said to the men of Succoth, 'Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, king of Midian.' And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread to your army?' Gideon said, 'Therefore, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars.'" Okay, they didn't expect him to win. And they didn't invest when they should have. Okay, let's see what happens in the next time. And when he went up there to Penuel, he spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, "When I come again in peace, I will break down this tower." Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor. And the host and the whole, now watch this now, watch closely. And their host with them, about 15,000 men. 300 men is chasing 15,000. Okay. All that were left of the host of the children of the east. Now watch this. For there fell 120,000 men that drew the sword. How could 300 men destroy that many? Now, I believe that other tribes came to help him, but 300 men were still on the hunt of 15,000. 120,000 were already dead. You got to understand something. If you allow yourself to trust God and see things through, you're going to find out that you're not alone. And the people of this world will never believe that God is with you. Just like the men of Succoth and the men of Penuel. Now, they were supposed to be allies, but they didn't believe in what God could do through Gideon. After he had already won such a victorious battle, he had 15,000 men to go, already destroyed 120,000. How did he do it? God was with him. God is going to be with you. But you're going to have your faith set. You're going to have your faith in the Lord now. And you're going to have to be ready to do whatever God say do. That's why I confess all the time. I will do all this in his heart. Because God can put you on the spot. But he will also prepare you to be on the spot. When you look like you're alone, but you're not. Angels are right there with you. Verse 11. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeah. Hope I'm not messing that up. And smote the hosts, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the hosts. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up, and called a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him, and he described unto him the princes of Succoth and the elders thereof, even 70 men. Now these are the leaders of Succoth. That's 60 and 17. That's 77 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth and said, Behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel and slew the men of the city. See, he's not just dealing with external enemies. He's also dealing with internal enemies, because the children are always worse. See, God had to keep covenant. All these things happen because God was keeping covenant with Abraham. This is what it took to bring forth Jesus through a tribe of a holy people. He had to break down these external enemies that surrounded Israel and the internal enemies that agreed with him. See, people can't fight. If you agree with Satan, you're not going to fight him. If you like something he's got, or if you agree with him somewhere in the world, if you have lust in the world, or if you partake of the world system, it's going to affect the way you fight. Even if you're fighting a disaster. If you agree with the ways of the world, you're not going to resist it right. You got to fully submit your heart to God. That's the only way it's going to work. Verse 18, Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, What manner of men were they ye slew at Tabor? And they said, As thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, They were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. So, you know, look at what happened. And he said to Jether, his firstborn, Up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Now watch these kings. Now Zeba and Zalmunna said, Rise thou and fall on us, for as the man is, so is his strength. See, pride don't know when to shut up.